All power and glory go to God. All greatness is from God. When a hero stumbles, well, the cowards rejoice. Nothing feels better to a coward than to watch a brave guy fall.
Magician got a story that's behind his tricks, and every GM got a story that's behind his picks. And when you listen, pay attention to the details. You can hear the ocean when you listen to the seashells. A newborn taught me wisdom that college couldn't, and college taught me how to talk more because I wouldn't. Words are sharper, they can reshape your disposition. Give out love and don't worry about your acquisitions. Too worried about the conference that you clinching, but your team is too much for you to carry in your own division. Palms is itching, about to run into some money next. Lord made me slow it down, cause I was surely missing steps. Euro stepping to my goals. Man, New Ginobili, can't nobody hold me. I need change like a gentrified neighborhood, but money ain't the only thing that can keep me straight for good. Bread alone is only good for the physical. Better make sure your soul's attached to your backbone. Verses for your vertebrae, chapters for your shoulder blades, books for my mental state, and letters on my dinner plate. You consume by what you consume, and the fumes from social media can mess up your cool. Clickbait on the internet can ruin your food. But depression ain't hashtag mood. I wanna see the moon when I stare up at the constellations to connect the dots. Vision very clear, make moves, connect the plots, and return all the earnings to my family. Prayers for my health and for my sanity.
Yo, we back again, KRSM 98.9, The Morning Show. What's good, said Linus? We back again.
Yo, we back. We back, man. We back. How you doing, man?
I'm feeling amazing, man. You know what I mean? A lot of forces. You know what I mean? A lot of forces. You know what I mean? God is the greatest, man. God is the greatest all day. You know what I mean?
All the time.
You know what I mean? So what you been up to this weekend, man?
We went to your son's game.
You've been thugging this whole weekend, man.
Yeah, man. You know, when you got your own business, man, sometimes, you know, tell people, man, you're an entrepreneur. When stuff break down, stuff go bad, bro, you got to take care of that, man. You got to it's always fun in games where you can, you know what I'm saying, take whatever days you want off and go to the beach. That's fun. Mm. But they'll never show you when the stuff won't cut on and all this and that.
We got our own delivery service courier company, and yo, let me just tell y'all this, man. It's dope having your own job, but we got these vans. When them vans break down, when one thing happen, the next thing will happen, then another thing will happen. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. And you definitely got to take care of all that.
Yeah.
My son had a basketball game. Go ahead.
No, just say took care of the vans, man. And then worked again on Sunday, man. Try to get some rest, you know what I'm saying? Watch some football and stuff like that, man. And then your son's game on Saturday, man, which was good. I had a good time.
Yeah, man. My son had a game on Saturday. He's on the number one fourth grade traveling team in Minnetonka, and the first game I saw some good signs for him. You know what I mean? The second game in the third game, we had a long ride home by them two. You know what I mean? And that is like it's like one thing you can't teach is effort. You know what I mean? I thought that his effort wasn't there in the second two games. You know what I mean? That he was out there just running around. He was out there just running around. So we had a long talk. You know what I mean? We went outside. And you know what I mean? We practiced. You know what I mean? We practiced on Sunday. We ran some plays. You know what I mean? Did all type of stuff. You know what I mean?
And see, but the thing is that when you talk about effort with him, I don't think it's effort as far as him hustling, because I thought, just from my vantage point, I thought that he had energy out there. Now, don't get me wrong. I've seen him play when he's like a hawk. When he's like, yo, he's trying to steal a ball from everybody. He dove on the ground. Like, I've seen him be a hawk. He wasn't a hawk level, but he had great energy. But the one thing about him, though, is that now the transition is up here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now the game is up here. And I feel like before, we was making sure that he knew how to be aggressive and score. And it's like he got that down. But now the game is changing into plays, how to get open. You know, just like some of the ways he
– No, it's simple. It's just like I told him this today. I told him this on Sunday. I told him, I said, our coach used to tell us this in college. Move with purpose. And that's what he wasn't doing. That's what he wasn't doing on Saturday, because he was just running around with a chicken with his head cut off around the whole court, just running down the floor, running down on the other end. I told him, I said, yo, stop hugging your player. Stop hugging your player. The reason why you're getting beat is because number one, you flat footed. Number one, you flat footed. Like, you got long strides, but you flat footed. But give yourself, like, I feel like I was good on defense I'm good on defense, like, as far as like how much space I think I'm perfect when it comes to, okay, I know that this person is fast. Okay. I'm gonna give him this much space. So if he takes a jump shot, I'm gonna be right up there to put my hands in his face, but he's not gonna blow by me. I'm not gonna give him that much space to blow by me. Now, he might be able to drive and then pull up, but I'm gonna still be there. You feel what I'm saying? So I told him to stop hugging his player, and I told him to give a little bit of space for yourself. You know what I mean? And I told him, Dave, look, hold your ground. So when a player goes to the hole, at some point you have to beat them to the spot and stop their movement, and you got to stay there. Don't move. Don't keep going back with them.
Right. Exactly. One thing, because it's like, you know how you see, people never know like where their kids match up or what their kids really look like until you put them with other kids their age. And then you see, like, oh, my son is not the tallest, or he not, or whatever. But what I saw with Ray is that, yo, his legs and his arms are long. I mean, just like you, are super long. So he's gonna be able to do what you're talking about, because he's gonna surprise. It's just like us, me and you, we got long arms. You know what I'm saying? You got longer arms than me.
Yeah.
So it's like I was always able to guard people like shorter than me. Because I was always able to give them enough space, and then when they pull up for a shot, I could always contest it because of my arms being so long. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I think it's also going to help with rebounds. See, the thing, because when I was working today, the things that I was thinking about was like, yo, we need to teach them, number one, how to V cut and get open.
That we went over that day. But we exactly. I told him. Yeah. I don't want to talk too much about this, but you know what I mean? I was just basically saying, just like, yo, a lot of the other teammates were scoring kind of off stuff that wasn't physical. That wasn't, they were scoring off the head.
Right.
They were scoring off the head. Like, so when they would pass it to one guy, another guy would just back cut. You feel what I'm saying? And they would just hit him, and it would be a simple layup. And that's what I was telling them. I was like, yo, you have to know when a guy's hugging you, and it's back cuts. So we went over back cuts, and we went over like, yo, what's there? Like, what's there?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Because
that's all basketball is. That's basketball. Basketball is all. Your action is going to cause a reaction from me. So whatever your action is, I have to have a counter action. So I got to be able to recognize your action and then understand what I need to do as a reaction. That's all basketball is.
Yo, and I told him today. I said, look, it was two great Americans. Two great Americans in the history of the planet that was unbelievable like this. Stockton and Malone. Them two people could have had you, Kaden, and Kobe. You, Kaden, my son Kobe, all on the floor with them, and they will burn you for 80 points just off of the strength of you pass it there and start to do a back cut.
That's it.
That's it all day long.
And no matter how you play it, no matter if you go over top of the screen, you go below the screen, if you switch, no matter how you do it, they understand exactly what to do to counteract what you're doing. That's basketball.
They would have almost 60 points just strictly off that alone.
Yeah, no, for real.
You know what I mean?
But right, exactly. And then I'm just gonna say this and let's go to something else. But I just think if he like you work with him V cutting and understanding backdoor and stuff like that, and then also when he rebound, he didn't box out. He didn't, and even that last game, he got four rebounds, but he didn't box out once. You know what I'm saying? He didn't box out once. I feel like if he would the ball go up, turn, find the guy, box him out, and then go get it, I feel like he would have it. I feel like he could probably get like 10 rebounds. I promise you.
You know, I know, but the only thing about that is I want to teach boxing out a little later. But I mean it could be good now, but the only thing is like I feel like with him,
he was spending too much time going to get the guy and not going to get the ball.
Exactly. He was spending too much time not being, because I want to see him be DMX and go Gret Rodman and go get that joint. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, I feel like if I teach him boxing out right now, he would go and box out a guy and then he would just stay there. He won't get to the point where he can box out and then the ball would drop down right in front of him. You know what I mean? At this level, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to teach that. You know what I mean? At this level, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But their coach teach him that, and I think that's good, because if your team boxes out, somebody on your team will get the ball.
Right.
But Ray Ray probably won't be the one who actually get it if he boxes out.
Right. Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I mean? Okay. So let's switch subjects. Yo, today is going to be a special day. I'm going to talk about the book I dropped on Thursday. On November 4th, I finally dropped my first book. I've been talking about this for a very long time, called Black Masculinity, The 40 Lessons. It's at Barnes & Noble right now. Barnes & Noble right now. You have to go get it.
If you are into books about black masculinity and it's your thing, feel free to head over to Barnes and Noble and get it.
No pressure. If I ever did anything for you in the whole time that I've been doing music and you feel like you owe me a favor, feel free to go get this book.
I'm
gonna run a little excerpt, you know what I mean, in a few, you know what I mean, just to show y'all. But this book was a You know what I mean? It was something that was dear to me. It was something that was dear to me. I thought that this is something that needed to be done. This is something that needed to be written. Because of certain things, you know what I mean? I'll get more into it a little bit later. You know what I mean? A little bit later.
But the like title again is Black Masculinity.
Black Masculinity, The 40 Lessons. It's a very easy book. It's not like small writing. You turn to each page, it's big. Big fonts. You turn a page, you see a saying in there. It's like things that represents masculinity. You know what I mean? It's an easy read for your sons, easy read for I think fathers and sons
to read together.
Fathers and sons to read together. You know what I mean? It's amazing. You know what I mean? And I kind of wanted to for my first book to have like an easy simple read. You know what I mean? Not something that, you know what I mean, you gotta do too much, because sometimes nowadays the mental capacity isn't there for certain age groups. You feel what I'm saying? So I just want to hit home with big writings and big bold fonts. So later on in the radio show, we'll talk about the book. I go into depth. KRSM 98.9. Yo, we back again. KRSM 98.9 every Monday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Yeah, we back again, man. We are coming up. I'm going to be talking about my new book, Black Masculinity, The 40 Lessons. Now on Barnes & Noble online. You can get it if you want to. It's out there. That's it. I'm going to be discussing it in detail. Stay tuned. I said, Linus, go ahead, take it away, man.
Well, on the vaccine front, you know what I'm saying, some really big things happened this week. So this is just something everybody been waiting for, because Biden, you know, came out and announced his federal vaccine mandate, but there was nothing for any businesses to actually go by that was tangible. So they were all waiting on OSHA to announce the actual guidelines. And so OSHA dropped the guidelines on November 4th, and pretty much is exactly what Joe Biden was wanted. You know what I'm saying? The rule will cover employers with 100 or more workers. If you have 100 more workers, they have to be vaccinated. And and here's the thing. If you're not vaccinated, you have to take the test once a week. Take a test once a week. But the business don't have to pay for the test. You got to pay for your own test. You see what I'm saying? And then also, if your business work with the federal government, or if it's the federal government you're working with, I'm pretty sure that there is no exceptions. Does OSHA vaccine rule provide any employee exemptions? The OSHA rule will allow exemptions on medical and religious grounds, similar to the federal employee and contracted rules that businesses were already working to comply with prior to the previous November 22nd and December 8th deadlines, respectively. Okay, so there still are medical and religious exemptions.
But a lot of businesses ain't honoring that joint too.
A lot of businesses are not honoring it. And that's the problem as well. So, look, that happened on November 4th, right? And then you come right back behind it on November 6th, 2 days later. It says a federal court issued Texas a temporary victory in its lawsuit against the Biden administration's coronavirus vaccine mandate, issuing a stay on the controversial federal government regulation in Texas, which means that mandate is at a halt. So right now, there's nothing moving on that mandate. Everybody has to just sit back and wait, because let's see, the Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton tweeted Saturday, we won. Pursuing the Biden administration over the unlawful OSHA vax mandate. So we're going to watch this play out. And I told people, I said that mandate will not be something quick. You know what I'm saying? People can't rush.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like watch it play out and let it play out, because a lot of people truly believe, and this is on both sides of the aisle, a lot of people truly believe that the vaccine mandate is unconstitutional. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We'll just watch it play out. You know what I'm saying? The deadline originally was for January 4th for people to be vaccinated or whatever. But now there's been a halt to it. So we just got to watch it play out in court. It's going to go to the Supreme Court. And then we just got to hope that, some of them guys have been kind of iffy a lot lately.
Yeah,
so,
man.
so
yeah, but see, this is the thing, man. Like, I feel like it's going to get to a state thing, even if it goes to the Supreme Court. If it goes to the Supreme Court and they back Biden, a lot of these states, they're going to make rules for their state alone. You feel what I'm saying? Florida ain't going for this. Florida ain't going for this. Texas ain't going for it. Some of these other places ain't going for it. You feel what I'm saying? And it's just going to be lawsuits all over the place. You can't make people get these things. Like, what type of this is the stuff that everybody thought Trump was supposed to be. Just imagine if Trump said, "Yo, if you don't get this vaccine, then you ain't gonna be able to have no job."
Right. No, it, exactly.
Just imagine. But since this is Joe Biden, everybody wanna be quiet.
But here's the thing though. When you talk about the Supreme Court, once it goes to the Supreme Court. If the Supreme Court rules in favor of Biden, right, then the only thing left is to enforce it, because there's no other courts you could really. You could try to file something else, but the Supreme Court ain't gonna hear it if they just passed it. You know what I'm saying? Right away. You know what I mean? So the only thing left after that is like military enforcement. If states like, "Yo, we ain't gonna abide by it," then you gonna have the military coming down checking jobs, and that is just gonna get really, it's gonna get crazy.
And also he has a task force, some OSHA, like some task force police, to come down and check and make sure that these businesses are doing this. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like that's ridiculous. But like I tell people, that's what they voted for. That's what they voted for. They voted for this dude who's making Americans lose jobs in every state at a crazy level, because he's saying if you don't take this vaccine, your job has to have a vaccine mandate, and if you don't take this vaccine, you're gonna lose your job. And guess what? We're gonna say, and then in the future we're gonna say you can't go into restaurants, you can't go into all these places. If you don't have a jab, you're not allowed to go into the grocery store. How can people not understand that this is the most ridiculous stuff in the history of the planet? And those people who voted for him created that. Just like everything when Trump was in office, when Donald Trump was in office, and everything that Donald Trump did, everybody what? They blamed on the Trump supporters, right?
Yep.
They blamed on the Trump supporters.
Yep.
These Biden people got to stand, these Biden supporters got to stand on this horrific history, this horrific part in American history that's going on right now. Is the, you better get this jab or you're no longer working. You're no longer feeding your kids. You can no longer go to the grocery store, and you can no longer do this, and you can no longer have fun, and you can no longer do that. And we're going to send a task force to your area, to your job, to make sure that you doing this. Come on, man. What are we talking about? Yo, yeah. Next subject. Yo, yeah. What are we talking about? So Kanye West.
Yes.
Kanye West came on Drink Champs.
Yes.
Kanye West came on Drink Champs, and it had the whole world, the Twitter world and social media on fire. Everybody been talking about it. If y'all know, we got love for Kanye, man. We got love for Kanye. Speak on the said, man.
Well,
should I put some clips first, or should I put some clips first?
I can talk a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I found out that he was coming on a Drinking Champs because Pusha T had put something up on Instagram that showed Nori getting his hair cut with a whole bunch of, like, you know what I'm saying? With a whole bunch of, like,
balls. I saw that too. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But usually how Drink Champs do is on Thursday, the show will run on, like, Revolt. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, the show will run on Revolt. And then we're talking about the actual station Revolt. And then on Friday, they'll drop the podcast version. And then on Saturday morning, they'll drop the actual video. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But this time, that's why when you asked me, when is the video version going to be out? I said Saturday, because that's their regular schedule. But they actually put it on YouTube on Thursday, and they premiered it at 10 o'clock.
But Revolt that same day was out. Revolt, because I had went to a link. I had went to a link on the day that it was on. On the day that it came on that Thursday, I went to a link and pressed it, and it was a red button. Like, I thought that it was a video playing with a red button, that the video didn't end. It just kept going.
Yeah. Excuse me. You talking about on YouTube, right?
I don't know. Hold on. I just know that it was from, I think it was either Complex or it was a Revolt, like an article, or it was an article like Kanye West, see what Kanye West said about Drake or some Drake or some junk like that. Then I went to the article, and then it had the video, and I pressed play on the video. And usually when you press play on the video, it got to a point where it goes to a point where the video ends. So I pressed play. Then I was looking at how much time, because it was like 2, 3, 4 minutes going by. And I'm like, yo, this is a long video. But then it didn't have no end to it. Have no end to the video.
Yeah. That's what happens when you look at lives on YouTube. That's.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just saying, nothing came up there that says YouTube. It looked like it was from Revolt. Everything was telling me that it was from Revolt. You know what I mean?
I mean, Drink Champs is on Revolt's YouTube channel. So I mean, it could be that too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So go ahead. You go ahead. Finish up.
Yeah, man. So I loved the interview, man, because I thought he answered every question really. And like I said, whether or not I agree with some of his answers, you know what I'm saying? I don't look to always agree with everybody. But what I'm saying is that I feel like he was genuine in his answers. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like he wasn't afraid. And one thing he started out with saying was that he doesn't have a home. His home is this bag where he just keeps his stuff in. And because he's treated everybody so well, that wherever he goes in America or in other countries, he's able to have a place to stay. He's able to have somebody look out for him. He's able to have somebody to provide him with clothes and things like that, because the new currency is your relationships with others. You know what I'm saying? I thought that was a pretty dope point.
Right, yeah. I saw most of the interview. I was just thinking to myself, like, I thought that this is for the first time. I thought that he was kind of like he's kind of crazy. He's kind of despite, it's a certain level of he's crazy that we already know. You know what I mean? It's like we already give Kanye. You know what I mean? But it's just certain movements and stuff, like the glasses. It's like he was hiding. You know, I can't even put my finger on it. It's like he had a big coat on and like the glasses that he just like, it's like this other stuff, bro.
You're putting this out.
Yeah. It's this other stuff. You know what I mean? I respect a lot of stuff that he was saying. And now I'm not saying I didn't. I respect a lot of stuff that he was saying. I actually agree with a lot of stuff he was saying. But I'm just saying this is the one time I actually looked at it that I thought that, like, yeah, he probably off his meds. I'm talking about strictly the stuff that's nonverbal.
Right. During his he had certain mannerisms that looked like that he might have been off medication, which he said he's been off medication for a while now, like a long
right.
time.
You know right, right. It's like the Kanye West that was talking to, what's it, Big Boy? Not Atlanta Big Boy, but West Coast Big Boy.
Yeah.
Like that Kanye West, what people think is crazy or something, he could walk down Virginia Beach. He could walk down Virginia Beach Boulevard and it's like, yo, like we wouldn't think he's crazy. But it's like this one, if he was walking down the street, we might cross the other side. We might walk to the
I disagree with that. I just think his haircut.
Come on, man.
I think his haircut was like, oh, bro.
And the way wow. he was dressed too. You gotta at least say the way he was dressed. Yeah, like, hey, yo, and let me tell you. Hold on. Let me tell you something. Whenever a joker wear a big leather jacket, we know what type of cat that is. Like off top, we know that. Yo, if you're from Virginia, you know if a joker. If a joker walked by you in a big leather jacket, it's a certain type of respect you get that person. You slide over to the side just a little bit. And if that person has glasses on and he got a big leather jacket on, you slide over a little bit, bro.
With all due respect, Nori said he spent 2 days with him and he didn't feel like he was off at all. And with all due respect, Kanye West was here. Was here this weekend, you know what I'm saying, for a basketball game.
Yeah, yeah.
I see Rack 100 and Wallow sitting next to him out there. So
he's probably here because Dave Chappelle.
No, his academy played a basketball game, the Donda Academy.
Ooh. Oh, okay, but Dave Chappelle also has his Dave Chappelle also has a thing had a thing Sunday. If I'm mistaken, they had his documentary that he's showing was Sunday, and Justin Bieber and Kanye West I think he ate Sunday at Lotus. The guy, he took a pictures. I was on Facebook yesterday, and it was Lotus is a Asian spot, and he said Justin Bieber. Oh, I think it was just Justin Bieber. Justin okay. Bieber was there. And Dave Chappelle. Justin Bieber and Dave Chappelle was there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's who it was. Justin Bieber and Dave Chappelle. So I'm thinking if Kanye came the day before with WAC 100, I'm pretty sure Dave Chappelle and Kanye crossed paths. Maybe.
Absolutely.
Do we got time to play some clips or what?
Play one quick clip and then we can we'll go to break.
Okay, this is Kanye. This is Kanye when he's talking about. They asked him. They said, "Yo, what was the worst person you signed? Right? Was that the?"
No. The question was, it's QuickTime with Slime. So they always ask you, who better, Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson? So this question was, QuickTime with Slime, who's better, Pusha T or Big Sean? And then he had the reaction.
Okay, here we go.
The worst thing I've ever done was sign Big Sean. Man, I know this man, Mama, bro. You know what I'm saying? I changed this man's family. And both John Legend and Big Sean, when I ran for office, got used quick by the Democrats to come at they boy that actually changed their life.
We'll be back. KRSM 98.9.
From the 84 Olympics in L.A. to Madison Square Garden, Paris, Las Vegas, and Norfolk Scope. In Virginia Beach, when he knocked out 90 opponents, he won the gold in
84, he turned pro right away on national TV in New York City. He beat Roger Mayweather in 87, was the fighter of the year in 89, and then over the next 15 years won belts at light welterweight, welterweight, and light middleweight.
Don't ever speak in the hearing of a fool. He'll despise your words of wisdom in every single molecule. And since he's stuck in one place, he'll try to siphon all your fuel. If I repay evil with evil, I guess I tarnished the golden rule. I'm trying to find a silver lining, don't care about no stars aligning. Do I step out on faith, or do I wait for perfect timing? Is there a such thing? I know I stand accused of trying to rush things. Instructed not to set my eyes on wealth because it makes wings, and like an eagle flies toward the heavens in a heartbeat. Between a soul and spirit, that's where the real vital parts meet. Between a rock and a hard place, that's where you find me. Feel like a free agent, the way that Satan be trying to sign me. But we know each other well enough, I know that he's the persecutor. He reminds me of my past and I remind him of his future. Now if he don't breathe fire, his approach is more finesse. He'll try to tempt me with his goods or send a damsel in distress. His tactics are old school, he don't change his game at all. My pockets are collapsing, they ain't got no time to throw the ball. So it ain't no comfort zone, everything is man to man. Trying to trick me into thinking this combat is hand to hand. These weapons are invisible, the scars I seen a mile away. But my requests are infinite, it seems to take a while to pray. Transgression after transgression, I surrender all. At times I need a tune up, other times I need an overhaul.
Despite the objections of his promoters and the networks and HBO, he insisted that his big fights be held at Norfolk Scope and that his Booker T. Washington High School marching band play him into the ring.
Yeah, my Bible says through great tribulations I'll enter heaven. So with that said, everything I'm facing, I'm getting ready. Putting my gear on while trying to clean it to make the wedding. Taking my fear off, though things I'm seeing could end up deadly. Over the years, all the problems that greet me come in medleys. Gotta get rid of the weight to help me pace my efforts. My goal's to finish the race, not if I'm first or second. Plus God has given me grace under reverse conditions. I work my mission, my mission's worse than I first envisioned. Got more experience than I had when I first enlisted. Spiritual training that make me wish that at first I listened. With God's forgiveness, escaping flames to emerge a victor. No longer sick with the bitterness that the world's inflicted. Took the prescription of living waters to curb afflictions. And now desires I've been given to deserve addictions. Now you can find me comfortably fixed on my journey fishing. Casting my net in positions, waiting for souls to drifting, walking the road to redemption, got off the road to riches. I give it all up for Christ just to become a kinsman. Now I've discarded my life, my service far from finished.
And instead of training in Las Vegas, he would stay home and work with the late great Bobby Waring in Virginia Beach. Burnell Whitaker was one of the world's most successful boxers of the 90s, and tonight he is mourned by fans here at home and around the world.
Yo, we back again, KRSM 98.9. Every Monday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. We just got through playing a clip from Kanye. And it's so crazy, man. Like I said, I agree with a lot of stuff that he was saying. You know what I mean? And a lot of things that he was saying didn't even get the attention. Because, I mean, it was so much stuff that you could clips from that. Everybody was playing different clips. But it's one clip that he was talking about abortion and population control in the black community that is like you got to search for. You know what I mean? And I didn't think it got enough pub. You know what I mean? So I'm going to go ahead and play that clip right now. And you've heard us talk about this same exact thing on this radio show. So I'm going to just play something right now.
To come out today, because we are inside us as 12 tribes of Judah, as a member of the Hebrew people, we are still inside of our genocide. 50% of all black deaths a year is abortion, and black deaths a year is abortion, and Plan B was created by Margaret Sanger with the KKK for black population control. During the election, that those tears is gonna be gospel someday. And what am I doing? I know the guy from Texas got a lot of backlash for changing the laws. I'm not in a position, that's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is providing a plan A, an opportunity where you can bring your children. If you feel like you can't take care of them, you ain't got a place to take them, you don't have a support system, we got a place that's gonna have. I'm like, Sebi's diet, based off Dr. Sebi's diet, saving not only black children, but all God's children, given an opportunity of a utopia. Because the reason why we didn't get our 40 acres and a mule is we have 40 acres, we have more people. We have more people when we have leadership, when the leaders that strategically taken out of the community in the 80s and the drugs and guns put into it. And then the algorithm. You know what I'm saying? The 808.
Yeah, yeah. So, yo, you heard him talking about that stuff right there. That should have been playing everywhere.
Right, right, right. But, you know, a lot of places are not going to cover that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They don't want to cover that. They want to cover the Big Sean or when he said something about John Legend, because they always want to pit black people against each other. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
And don't get me wrong. These are words he said, but... But there's more sensationalized. But when you start talking to the black community, and you start coming from a place of like, yo, let's think about how we can, you know what I'm saying, do better, and things of that nature. You know what I'm saying, make better decisions and help each other out and things of that nature. You never see that clipped up and put on, you know what I'm saying, put on IG. You know what I'm saying, right. Or anything like that.
Right.
They don't
right.
do that.
And we've been telling people about Planned Parenthood. We've been telling people about Margaret Sanger. We've been telling people about all of this stuff, population control. We've been talking about that. That right there should be talked about a little more. You know what I mean? Kanye West is a brilliant mind. You know what I mean? He's a brilliant mind. He's one of those people you can't cancel. Dave Chappelle, one of those people you can't cancel. Boosie is one of those people you can't cancel. You know what I mean? Just simple. You know what I mean? So I can start talking about my stuff.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, man. So I made a book, Black Masculinity. And I was working on this book for a very long time. You know what I mean? I knew that it was something that I wanted to work on because I would see in the media how they was trying to break down the black masculine man.
Yes.
And it's some people who don't see it. I mean,
let me tell you, because I'm gonna let you flow a lot. So I'm gonna say this. To me, that's one of the reasons why we even started this this podcast, because you know right. what I'm saying. It started to get to the point.
Radio show.
Radio's my bad. Radio.
But
show.
But it started off as a podcast.
Yeah, and so we didn't see ourselves reflected in a lot of media anymore. Remember, when we were growing up, we would go grab a Slam magazine, a XXL magazine, a Complex magazine, a GQ magazine, or whatever, and you could see black masculine men. And then it started to get to the point where you stop seeing black masculine men and in some of these publications or whatever. So it was like we felt compelled to dive into the media space so that we can bring back some faces of black masculinity. But go ahead.
Right. You know, it's so crazy because you have to be accepted as a black man today. You have to be weak. You have to follow certain type of narratives. You have to believe in these narratives. You know what I mean? If you don't believe in these certain narratives, then you're canceled. Oh, you're toxic. Oh, you're this. Oh, you that. You feel what I'm saying? And people, the same people that's always complaining about white supremacists, white supremacy, and all of this stuff. They are the first ones. They are the first ones all the time to not be able to see when the white supremacy have done everything. They drop their coffee, it's white supremacy. They show up on work late, it's white supremacy. They don't got a job, it's white supremacy. The bank, you try to get your money out of the bank, it don't happen, white supremacy. You scuff your shoes, white supremacy. But then when I tell them, oh, you know what white supremacy also is? Is them putting all these TV shows where these black guys ain't masculine. They weak. They all soft. They all crying on TV. They all whatever. You know what I mean? They don't, they asexual, they whatever, all of this stuff. I don't see that.
You know
they see every single thing other than that. Like that's not a good trick. They can't even tell you if it would be a good trick or not.
Right.
They can't even tell you. They can't even tell you. Why wouldn't that same person that you think has built all of these entities that's a structural race? What they call it?
What they call it? What's the CRT? Systemic racism.
Systemic racism. All the systemic racism going on and all of this, all that stuff going on. Oh, these same people wouldn't think about just weak black men on TV. Oh, they just skip that.
But listen, let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. Dang. Oh, I just lost my train of thought. Oh man. So I was on Fanbase, which is a very great app. If you guys like new social media apps, you should download Fanbase, create an account. Or whatever, they have audio room. So I was,
and you get money on it.
You can make money on your account. It's like Instagram, but you can make money from it. But anyway, I was in the audio room, and it's so funny because one of the guys said, "When was the last time that you seen a black man and a black woman loving each other in like a great family home, safe environment?" Where a man is the husband, you know what I'm saying? Man's the husband, women, you know what I'm saying? Whatever, just black women, good interaction, you know what I'm saying? Representation. He was like, you don't see it anymore. You don't see a married black couple interacting no more on TV. You can't find it. You know what I'm saying?
You can't find it, and it's deliberate.
Yes,
it's deliberate. And let me tell you something. You have about 30, 40 black shows out there, and you can find a strong black man and maybe about two of them.
Right.
If that, you got 7 billion white shows out there, and 6 billion of them, you see a strong white hunk saving the day all the time. And then the weak man is in one of the 1,000 shows they got. We don't have enough representation. And that's deliberate. That's deliberate. I was watching a Disney show the other day, a Halloween Disney show with my sons, man. And the black boy, it was a white girl, and like a Hispanic guy and a black boy up there. He was the scaredest one. If somebody would have told me, hey, which one do you think would be the scaredest one running away from everything? I would just automatically say the black one because that's what they're doing. I'm watching this junk. And the kid is like, oh, no, you know I'm not doing that. Oh, no. Like, what? What are we doing? We're not even teaching our sons to be brave. We're not teaching them to be brave no more. We teach them to be scared. We want them to see scared black people on TV all the time. And everybody's cool with it. Every single person, everybody is cool with it, except conservative black men and conservative black women. Period. Everybody else is cool with it. Everybody else don't see a problem with it. They love seeing it. It's cool for them. They love seeing weak black dudes.
Well, you know, I started to realize, I mean, not to take a shot at this brother, but when a lot of the Madea stuff started coming around, even when they was having men in the household, the men were like beneath the children as far as like the hierarchy of the family. You know what I'm saying? It was like so overrun, and they nothing they said was taken serious, and it was just starting to get to a point where I'm just like, yo, they're showing like a deterioration of they're ushering in a deterioration of black families.
Yo, I'm a true believer in black patriarchy, period. I mean, you people can say whatever they want to say, whatever. Who cares? But you know what I mean? Like it is people always want to throw white patriarchy or patriarchy on black men. You know what I mean? It's like, no, we can run black patriarchy and we can do it well. You know what I mean?
We can take care of our family. We can take care of our wives and our children. We can take on that responsibility.
Exactly. Ain't nobody trying to be on no other junk, no weak junk, man. Look, it's like, it's so crazy because people be online talking all this stuff. They don't even want to be with no weak man. But then they play it so cute. It's so cute when you get online. Oh, yeah. It's okay to cry. They'll get on one of my posts and say, men can cry all day if they want to. But guess what? Those same people who saying that would never date a man who cries all the time. Never. They would never. They send it on social media. It's cute then. But they themselves want a strong black man who stands up, who can guard the house, who they feel protected from. And whenever I try to pump that person, they act like, oh, no, that's toxic. But then they want that guy. And the reason why they're not getting that guy is because they speak so much against that guy. So hold on. So that's why I wrote the book Black Masculinity. That is the reason why I wrote the book Black Masculinity. It's 40 lessons. 40 lessons. Each page have a lesson in it. It's for all people, really. White guys can get it too. You know what I mean? White guys can get this too. You know what I mean? Black mothers who got younger sons, single moms, can get it too to read to their sons. Black men, anybody. It's really, when you really look inside the pages, it's a lot of things that could go to whatever race. You know what I mean? But it's just like, I'm focusing on black men for the simple fact I see that we're targeted in the media to be weak. We're targeted to wear dresses. We're targeted to be scared of everything. We're targeted. They will have 17 white guys on a TV show. Not even on a TV show, a movie. 17 white guys on a movie. Then they will have 17 white women up there. And then they will have one black guy up there. Not one of the 17 white guys. The one black guy who strolls in is the weakest person. They will have him in a skirt with all type of junk on, being weak, being just oh, so what's going on? It's just ridiculous, man. It's just ridiculous. And we see this. We see this and we understand what's going on. You know what I mean? And we can't sit here and turn no blind eye to this just because somebody else don't want to see it. It's our job to see it. It's our job to speak on it. You know what I mean? And that's why I wrote Black Masculinity, The 40 Lessons, Barnes & Noble, right now, online. If you like that type of stuff, you can go get it. You know what I mean? How much time we got in this segment?
No, we got a few more. We got a few more minutes. But I want to tell a little story, and then you can come back in the second segment. Back in the day, I was on a date with a young lady, and I don't know how the topic came up, but it was kind of like if somebody tried to rob us right now, whatever. Like what would you do, whatever? You know what I'm saying? So you know, you play a little anecdotal. Little games like that, whatever.
No doubt, bro.
And I remember telling the young lady, I said, look, if somebody tried to rob us and one of us had to die, I have to be the one that die. I said, Absolutely. Because I don't I don't want to live with the fact that I have to go and tell your father that you was out with me and I didn't protect you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if any danger or harm is coming towards us, I have to be the one to take that on. Because yep. I could never tell your father, you were out with me, but I'm the one that survived and you didn't.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And the thing is, man, it's like, I just saw this too much. I would be going on Netflix. I'll be going on Netflix about to watch a movie. You know what I mean? I'll watch a movie. We have sometimes it'd be an all-white movie. You know what I mean? Sometimes it'd be an all-white movie. Then you watch it, then you see the black guy comes in, and you see he's the weakest black dude in the history of the planet. It's like I've never met no black guys like this. We ain't even ready. It's like we ain't even we not even represented right. And then I gotta turn it. I was like, the movie was good until that happened. Like I'm at the point now, bro, where it's like I be watching either all white people in the movie or I watch all black people in the movie. I don't even deal. I don't deal with nothing in between. KRSM 98.9.
Hello, listeners. This is Seth Linus from the Let's Argue with Prince Carlton Morning Show. I just want to thank you for listening and supporting our podcast. If you want to support more, you can head over to anchor.fm/letsarguenow/support. And you can give us a monthly contribution of 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99. Your support will go towards more consistent content and informative interviews in the future. Thank you.
Yo, we back again, KRSM 98.9. So we back talking about my book, Black Masculinity, The 40 Lessons, is at Barnes & Noble right now. You can order it online. They'll ship it to your house. So my job with this book is we see a lot of this stuff on TV. You know what I mean? We think there's a lot of people who feel the media is trying to demasculization of black men. You know what I mean? They try to make black men weaker. You know what I mean? Seem weaker, look weaker through TV roles and everything. And what I'm trying to do with this book is reverse that course. You know what I mean? It's to create strong black men. You know what I mean? And we can't let other people tell us what masculinity is to us. We can't allow that. We can't sit here and let these pundits or these experts or whatever, you know what I mean? We can't let these people come up there and say, hey, no, masculinity is da 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 da. Nah, you're not gonna tell us anything. Black masculinity is this. I'm a man, masculinity is this. If you're a woman, I'm not going to tell you what being feminine is.
Right.
You can talk about what being feminine is. Don't try to tell me what being masculine is. It's not going to work. It's not going to work over here. I'm not going to tell you that being feminine is something that I want to see. Suppose I said, yo, being feminine is you cooking every single day of the week and you washing the floors and you like, you know what I mean, cutting my toenails. I can't call that for you. You feel what I'm saying? Women can say whatever being feminine is. You feel what I'm saying? And what I'm trying to do is a lot of people been dipping and grabbing and taking and trying to say, make up their own terms for their own reasons of what masculinity is. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, what I'm trying to do is take that back. And I'll say for us, you know what I mean? Take that back for us and create a world of young boys that want to be masculine, that don't feel horrible. They don't feel horrible being masculine. You feel what I'm saying?
But here's the thing. This is what I said on one of the audio rooms I was in. I think I said this also before on one of the episodes with Dr. Wesley Muhammad. Okay. Is that black people?
You name dropping too. Go ahead.
Black men are darned if they do and darned if they don't. And what I mean by that is that when we're not in the household taking care of our responsibility, we're deadbeat. We good for nothing. You know what I'm saying? He ain't never gonna be whatever. You know what I'm saying? All this and that.
Yep.
But as soon as we are in the household, y'all act like y'all don't want to listen to us. When we in the community telling you what is good for our community and what's not good for our community, what we want to see in our community, what representations we want to see in our community, they call us different names. You call Hotep and all this and that, toxic masculinity and all this and that. So what do you want? Do you want us to not represent for our family, or do you want us to represent for our family? Because if black men are representing for our families and represent for our communities, y'all got to get behind this, man. Y'all got to get behind this, because what we're doing is we're operating in a position where we the head of the household and we're protecting our family, we're protecting our kids. So y'all got to get behind this, man.
Yo, okay, so the overview of the book. In a society where the masculinity of black boys and men is under attack, these straightforward lessons bring healthy traditional masculinity back into view. This book provides 40 lessons that focus on the positive aspects of masculinity and will show young black boys and men how to lead, provide, and protect. What are we talking about?
That sounds wonderful. I have
What are we talking about? And I'm gonna go through.
No. Let me call out some numbers. Let me call up some numbers, and then we don't want to give the whole book away. We want to give the whole book away. But let me call out some numbers, and you go find the lesson.
Hold on. Boom.
There we go.
Black masculinity in your stores now. Is a good coffee. Is good. Put it on your coffee table. Put it on your coffee table.
It's good for conversation. It's an art piece, but it's also a conversation starter. You know what I mean?
A conversation starter, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go with 23. Let's talk about 23.
Okay.
I have no idea what lesson 23 is.
Okay. Lesson 23. In the 40 black masculinity, the 40 lessons. Procreate.
Yo, hold on, time out. Yo. So I picked 23 and that time was procreate.
You picked 23 and it was procreate. Jordan all day. Exactly. We call it MJ. You know what I mean? MJ greatness. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Procreate, man. You know what I mean? To black masculinity, you got to procreate. You got to procreate, man. This is what God say? What the Father say? He said, be fruitful. How can that not be in here?
Amen. Amen.
You know what I mean? This came from the Father.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
All right.
You know, pick another joint out.
All right. So let me see. 36.
Okay, 36. This is something that I have to work on.
Okay. All right. It's good.
Control your emotions.
Yeah. Well, as a community. To me, I don't know if you listed. I don't know if you listed them in order of importance or they're just the 40 lessons or you had a reason why you listed them the way you listed them. But I think that is one of the most important rules of black masculinity, because when we don't control our emotions, you know what that means? Somebody else is controlling it for you.
Yo.
So
that's the exact. Yep.
Yeah. So if I'm not because emotions are controlled. Now,
right.
Either you're going to control them, or you're going to allow outside entities control them as well. So that's So that's why when we a lot of times we have people up here, and we ask them the question. We say, why do black people, for the most part, live a conservative life, but vote Democrat? And that main reason is because we are allowing an outside force to control our emotions. They put up images on the TV. They tell you that this person is racist. They know that we are highly triggered by racism. So what they do is they flash all these images of racism and oppression on the TV or whatever, and that messes with our emotions. But if we say, you know what, you're not going to be able to trigger me with that, so let's talk about policy. Now we're going to flip the whole thing on its head.
Like Kanye West said, we talking about culture. You talking about culture? Man, them white liberals wrote your culture. That culture is something that they put in place that you think is your culture.
Exactly.
Period.
Exactly. Period.
Because you know what they do? This is what they do. They sit there and tell you, hey, you know what? Those people over that side, they racist. They real racist. Don't vote for those people. But you know what? These other folks over here is the people you should like.
Right, exactly.
And these people that they tell you that you should like is the one that bring in the death within your community.
Exactly. And another thing, we got to control our emotions when we're dealing with each other.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Bro, why we always got to pick up a gun and have a discussion? See, once you start to look at your brother as yourself, you ain't going to do no harm to yourself. So don't do no harm to your brother.
Yo, controlling your emotions is the smartest thing that you could possibly do. How many times do we, as black people, we're a lot of times led by our emotions. Pac was led. Sometimes it's good.
It's good.
Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. Pac, the reason why we love Tupac is because he was fiery.
Right.
He was fiery.
Right.
But like this being too fiery led to his death. You feel what I'm saying? It's some things that he could have pulled back on. You feel what I'm saying? I'm not saying that. Man, when I'm talking about Tupac, look, Tupac was something else. I don't even know if that even led to his death. I feel like God gave Pac 25 years, period. But it's like a lot of other people. It's like certain things, like somebody could type something to you online. Oh, I'm going to see this dude. You go ride out in your car. You make a horrible decision. They land you in jail. They land all these other people in prison. You feel what I'm saying? And or you mess up some young kid, a young kid is eating at an ice cream store, you shoot up the whole spot. You feel what I'm saying? So you got to control your emotions. You have to. As being a man, you have to be level-headed. Most of the time, you might not be able to be level-headed all the time, but you have to be able to, okay, I feel this way about it. Okay, let me go over here, come back, and then talk to this person. You feel what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Being level-headed, because we all know what type of damage we can do. And I'm a type of person who I love to speak when I'm angry. You know what I mean? And I can say the worst things ever. You feel what I'm saying? So
also we can't always run to go post things on social media as well, because you know a lot of times when the argument gets into the public hands, then people feel publicly disrespected. Feeling disrespected from one person to another, that's easy. That's a quick you can get over that. All that takes is an apology. Right. But when it goes to the public, then a lot of times people feel like they got to do something. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So we got to control our emotions, man.
Throw one more out there.
We're going to go with We're going to go with an 11.
Be confident. Confidence is something that needs to be dripping off you. Confidence needs to be dripping, soaking off you all the time. Women love a confident man. You could be an ugly dude and you could be the ugliest cat in the whole spot. But if you're confident, you could get the girl that you want to get.
The girl of your dreams.
The girl of your dreams, man. When you go into, like, black men, black people should be confident all the time. It just, it's something that we, I can't even explain it, man. But it like black people, like we, especially black boys, we have to teach our black sons to be confident. You know, you stand up straight. You know what I mean? You look somebody dead in their eye. You shake their hand strong. When there's a task at hand, you can do it. You can at least give it a try. You feel what I'm saying? We have to teach being confident. We have to teach being confident to our sons. We got to start it young. We got to start it real. We got to start it at the essence. You feel what I'm saying? We got to teach that. And then that will create brave young men, courageous young men. And that's what we need, because it's a war going on outside. No man is safe from. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And we need frontline soldiers. We need men to defend.
And here's the thing also, when it comes to confidence, you might have to have enough confidence in yourself to say, you know what? I'm going to walk away from this job because I don't want to get that jab. Mm. That's confidence. That's confidence that you're going to be able to figure it out. You got to have confidence in yourself, because when you don't have confidence in yourself, you subject yourself to a lot of things that you wouldn't normally want for yourself.
But not only that, it's just like emotions. If you don't have confidence, somebody else run your ship.
Yep, they control your esteem.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they control your esteem. They control how you feel about yourself because you don't have confidence. You know, people who don't have any confidence, they usually they overcompensate for their lack of confidence in some other area.
Right.
Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because when you're confident, absolutely, you ain't got to say nothing. You just step on the court, drop 30, and that's it.
Man, yo. I mean, you could talk when you're confident too. Floyd Mayweather was confident in every single fight, and he talked the most trash. Muhammad Ali was confident. He talked this stuff. You feel what I'm saying? You could be confident. I mean, Jordan. You ask people who the biggest trash talker was, Jordan.
Yeah,
you can talk that stuff. You could talk that stuff too, and be confident.
But like Jordan said, a real man talks mess.
Jordan said,
"Yes."
Jordan said what?
Michael Jordan. He said, "A real man can talk trash when he's down, or when the game is tied. It's easy to talk trash when you're winning." But a real man can talk trash when he's down or when the game is over and it's 0-0. Now, let's see who's a real man then. He was talking about B.J. Armstrong, because B.J. Armstrong had hit that game winner. Not a game winner, but like put him up ahead in Jordan's face whenever he was talking trash. And Jordan, yeah, the next game, you know, they showed Jordan was just stewing on that. He had a cigar. This is back in the day. Before the game, he's smoking a cigar in the locker room. And he got this bat, and he just, you know what I'm saying, swinging the bat. And you could tell he just thinking about it. He just like, yeah, he's like, yeah, we'll see about all that trash talking. See, it's easy to talk trash when you up. When you up, it's easy to talk trash. But a real man can talk trash when he's down or when the score is 0-0. That's a real man or whatever.
Yeah, right. Man. Yeah.
And that's confidence.
Exactly. Yeah, man. So if y'all want the book is out there called Black Masculinity in stores right now. I won't say it's in stores. You can't go and physically get it at your stores right now. You can grab it online if you want it online. You type in Black Masculinity. It should be the first book that pop up. At first we was on page four. We was on page four. Now a lot of people did enough reviews and bought the book that when you type in Black Masculinity is the first book up there that comes up. It should say new release. Hope y'all go get it. KRSM 98.9.
Start with the foundation first, finding better ways to make it work. Any cracks can destroy the interior, and that's a definite at the end with a period. And lately I've been feeling claustrophobic, seeing the walls closing in, heart beating out of my chest, I'm trying to hold it in this spin cycle like circle, but I won't fold again. Keep God first is the wisdom given by older men. Gwendolyn Brooks poems help me stand firm in the eye of the storm. I am far from the norm, ain't better than nobody, but too arrogant to follow in the footsteps of others. I am covered, can keep the tally marks on the wins and losses. I just walk a straight line and try to bear my crosses. Cut straight to the truth and my sound is raw. That's cause I'm cut from a cloth that ain't around no more. In the second act, I don't need no recognition. I just need enough to pay my kids' tuition. Even Jacob had dreams, so I take chances and I just keep doing dirty work like I'm Kurt Rambis. I speak direct.
Thank God for Yeshua, the one and only ruler. This world has punching power, left hook like David Tua. And it's got me on the ropes, so I'm clenching with my hopes. And they got Jimmy Lennon Jr. to unseal the envelopes to tell us who's the winner, cause I know who's the sinner. And stress from everyday life got me looking a little thinner, like I'm on an Atkins diet. Society just wants me quiet. They'll chase the empty high and say don't knock it till you try it. Why do we choose to play a part in something unfulfilling? The mere thought of hellfire, simply bone chilling. I can't even stand the summer, so hell is not an option. And these illegitimate sins going up for adoption. The enemy placing bids, no idea what we cost. He's looking for them sins. I left them at the foot of the cross. Whether you used to move weight, sell dreams, or sell hate, if you're free from the world and we are former cellmates, you never truly vulnerable completely till your shell breaks. You don't embrace the rugged cross, how many nails will it take? I don't need no more convincing, just my spirit need rinsing. Sleep pattern is erratic and my muscles keep tensing. I guess I'm not the spring chicken like I was before, but still feel the need to even odds and settle scores. But if I say it's God's battle, would I be correct? I'ma just man my post and speak direct.